Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Well, if you don't know your way around a basin wrench or you're savvy with a plumber's snake, certain home maintenance projects can be impossible to do without the help of a real specialist like a master plumber. It's very, very easy to get in over your head, even if you think you can do it. And I have a great story to tell. But don't worry. Ian Cowan and Robert Benjamin join us today. They're field managers for Mr. Ruta Plumbing in the Hudson Valley. They specialize in everything from drain lines to well pumps, and they are here to answer your questions. So if you're backed up or stuck or confused, give us a call, 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. You can also post your comments on our Facebook page. It's facebook.com/WAMC Radio. There should be a Vox Pop post there. You can tweet us at WAMC Vox Pop, or you can email voxpop@wamc.org. But again, the number to call is 800-348-2551. Ian and Robert, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having us, Ray.
So last month you got a frantic call from me. And let me give you the backstory. So it's about 10 o'clock at night. My oldest daughter goes down to brush her teeth. I'm upstairs. I'm on the computer. All of a sudden, screaming ensues from downstairs. And I say, oh, no, what's going on? I come down, and there's I thought the water was coming from the ceiling, which originally I just saw dollar signs in my head. But what happened was the hot water faucet handle blew off, had gotten corroded and blew off, and there was a geyser of hot water straight up to the ceiling, about 6, 7, 8 feet. And so we turned the water off. Of course, the house is so old, the original valves close to the bathroom did nothing, so we had to turn the master water off. And then I called you, and I said, can I do this? And you talked me off the ledge. So I did the project myself.
Yes, you did. So, very proud of you, Ray.
So I borrowed my brother's basin wrench, okay? Now, I can barely work a regular wrench, just full disclosure. So this basin wrench, it's got like a little pivot on it and jaws that clamp on. And anyway, it wouldn't fit. This was such a tight basin. So I had to go and buy this. I don't even know what they call this thing.
It's a faucet wrench.
It's the greatest tool ever made by man. It's a plastic with metal rings on each end, and you're able to get the inlet, what do they call it?
It actually works for everything. It works for the faucet supplies. It works for the drain base. It's got all kinds of notches in it. It was a great design.
So yeah, fantastic.
I wish I would have figured that one out.
Well, it worked. It really worked, and I did the job, and knock wood, it's been a month, no leaks, so I think I did okay.
Great job.
Here's the thing, though. You guys would have done it in an hour. Took me 12 hours to do it. I started at 6 a.m., and I was done, 10 hours. By the time the kids got off the bus, I was just turning the water back on.
But you can be proud of that.
No problem, kids. Don't worry, I'll never do that again. I will call a professional. What's new with you guys?
Same old, just working. Everybody's got plumbing problems. They don't wait for anybody. So
problems, fixing them.
Well, that's good. Hey, nothing wrong with that. You know, when I was growing up, there were a lot of willow trees. It was kind of a low area, and there was a lot of underground water. And I remember having neighbors are cutting them down because I guess the willow roots get into the water lines?
Drain pipes mostly, but yeah. Water lines too, but mostly drain pipes.
And what's the rule of thumb? How far does a willow have to be from your house?
It doesn't matter.
Really?
It depends on not the distance, but how big the tree is. Roots will go toward water. They will grow. I've seen trees hundreds of feet away put roots into a drain line.
Oh, depends on the type of the tree, too, though. The rule of thumb that they always teach us is the drip line. So wherever the furthest branches are,
yeah,
and they drip down, that they'll proceed like 5 to 10 feet past that, generally.
Yikes. All right, well, we have a full bank of calls already, so let's get right to them. 800-348-2551. When you hear somebody hang up, that's your cue to call. Linda in Corinth, you're first. Linda.
Hello?
Linda? Linda. Okay, Linda, you're not first. I'm sorry, Linda. I apologize. We'll go to line 2. And Johnny in New Paltz. Hey, Johnny, can you hear us?
Yes, I can.
You're on.
Good. When my washing machine drains, it bubbles up into my toilet and into my kitchen sink. You know, it kicks up water, and I'm trying to, you know, I wonder if you guys have any idea why that's happening.
I have a little question for you. Are you, it says New Paltz, are you in the village town or are you on a septic system?
No, I'm outside. You know, I've got a private well and, yeah.
Okay. When was the last time you had your septic tank pumped out?
Oh.
Yeah, it could be a couple things. The reason you have the water gurgling in the toilet is because the water is not exiting the house properly. You have a blockage in your main line. It could be that you need the line snaked out. It could be that you need the septic tank pumped and checked out, and it could be a combination of the two. So I would recommend first and foremost getting your tank pumped, testing it, and then having the line snake to remove whatever blockage is in there out. What's happening is the washing machine puts out a large volume of water very quickly. It's being pumped down. It's not making it to the tank, so it's coming up in the lowest spot, which happens to be your toilet.
Right. So when you're talking about the main line, you're talking about the drain, you know, the drain line?
Yes, that would be the 3 or 4 inch pipe that goes out to the septic tank.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So it has nothing to do with the vent situation.
It could. It definitely could. But based on your laughter when we asked about the last time you had your septic tank pump, my guess would be that that's probably your issue.
Okay.
All right. Hey, Johnny, thanks for the call. We appreciate it. Our number is 800-348-2551. We talk plumbing every so often with Ian Cowan and Robert Benjamin of Mr. Reuter Plumbing of the Hudson Valley. Let's go over to Diane and Rhinebeck. Diane.
Hi.
Hi.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I was curious. I had a small plumbing problem, and an amateur plumber came over to fix it. I didn't have the choice about getting him at that time. And on his third visit, it still wasn't fixed, I very sweetly said, look, I've heard of a very good, you know, licensed plumber. Maybe it would be well to try him. And the fellow got very angry and said, there are no licensed plumbers in New York State. I'm a perfectly wonderful plumber, et cetera. So I was curious, are plumbers licensed in New York State? And if not, how does one go about finding a master plumber?
So, Diane, that's a very good question. I'm glad you asked that because I'm originally from Michigan. And in Michigan, we have a statewide license. So once you take the exam, you're licensed to work anywhere in the state. New York is a little different. New York, I have to have a master's license in Westchester County, Putnam County, Rockland County, several cities. So where you are, it would be the city of Poughkeepsie, the town of Poughkeepsie, the city of Beacon, the city of Middletown, town of Middletown. They all have separate licenses. Unfortunately, where you live, you're not required to be a licensed plumber to work. So I also live in one of the counties where we don't have a countywide license, and it annoys me because, seriously, Ray, do I want a guy working on my electrical or my plumbing that doesn't know what he's doing? He can do more damage. So the argument that everybody has is, we want our constituents to have more people to choose from. But in my opinion, that's the wrong answer. You should be licensed. So if you're looking for a licensed plumber in your area, you can check the city of Poughkeepsie, the town of Poughkeepsie, Kingston, which is on the other side. Those are places that require licensing, and you'll find people that are licensed. So we hold licenses in every one of those areas, but where you're at, there isn't one to get.
So just to clarify, then, what is called a master plumber, it's because you have a master plumber's license from a state who requires that.
No. I have a master plumber's license in several counties in New York and several cities in New York. So
I meant the terminology master.
It's an actual license. I have a master plumber's license, but there isn't a master plumber's license for the state of New York. They're by counties and cities. So Connecticut, Jersey, Michigan, those places all have statewide. We do not.
Thanks, Diane.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate it. Now, do you wear a conical, like wizard's hat, when you're a master plumber?
Sometimes.
Yeah?
Okay. Secret. It's kind of like the Freemasons.
Look at that. Yeah, look, you got the logo going. Okay, we'll part on the square. Let's go over to, we got a hanger-upper there. Let's try this one.
I think your phones went dead, right?
Yeah, I'm hanging up on everybody. I apologize to everyone that I hung up on just now. 800-348-2551. That was very impressive. So I think I told you before the show, I'm full of cold medicine today.
Yes,
so,
you did.
it could get a lot like a Jerry Lewis movie. I'm just saying. It might be interesting a little later on. Let's take a break. 800-348-2551 is the telephone number. We'll go a little bit early, and then we'll come back, and I won't hang up on anybody. I apologize to the world.
Support for WAMC comes from the Hyde Collection, an art museum and historic house in Glens Falls, New York, open Tuesday through Saturday, 10 to 5, and Sunday, 12 to 5, hydecollection.org. Poughkeepsie Farm Project, connecting food, farm, and community, organically grown CSA shares now available for the 2016 season, farmproject.org. Grapes and Grains Wine and Spirits, East Greenbush, New York, specializing in wine and craft spirits for more than 15 years, stocking single malts, bourbons, tequilas, and gins, grapesandgrainswine.com. Spate Consulting and Coaching, Shelburne Falls, more than 20 years of working with leaders and teams committed to purposeful change, see it whole and move it forward, dlspecht.com. And Pine Cobble School, Williamstown, Massachusetts, where the 20-acre campus becomes a living laboratory for learning in all grades, pre-K through 9th grade. A good beginning never ends. PineCobble.org.
Hello, everybody. We straightened out the phones, and apologies again to everybody I just hung up on. That was pretty impressive. We're joined today by Ian Cowan and Robert Benjamin of Mr. Reuter Plumbing of the Hudson Valley, 800-348-2551. If you called before and didn't get through, it's my bad, and try again. Let's go to Bruce in Kingston. Bruce.
Yeah, I have a couple of questions about wells. How far would the roots of the tree go feet-wise toward a well soak it up, because my well is having a tough time recovering?
Have you always had that problem, or is that fairly recent?
No, that very recent. I would say probably, you know, the water table has gone down. We didn't have any snow cover this winter.
Right.
But I am concerned about it.
It's usually, just so you know, it's usually not the trees. Has there been any construction in your area? New houses, new builds, where new people, there'd be new wells drilled, because they can pull from the same veins. And that's usually...
Well, of course, there was one house built, a few hundred yards up the road, and that might affect it. But I understand that the water level has gone down. But what about the weeping willow? How far do their roots go to get water?
We actually were just talking about that, and unfortunately, we're not geologists, but we can just go by what we've been told. And the willows tend to spread many, many yards, and the other basic trees are usually about 10 feet past what's called their drip line, which is the end of the farthest branch where the water would drip off of.
Could you give me an estimate of how far the weeping willow would go?
Unfortunately, I can't. I'm a plumber.
Robert said they go very, very far. He's seen them go very, very far.
So, like maybe 50 feet, 100 feet?
Unfortunately, the size of trees is depending on how old they are. I honestly couldn't begin to tell you.
I guess the bigger they are, the farther they go.
Yeah, right. I think... Well, as it grows, the bigger a tree is, the more water it needs, the longer the root grows. That's an extensive...
Right.
And they say for as much wood as above ground, there's an equal amount underground.
Right, that the last month or two that the water level in this area has dropped.
Well, that's going to be, I don't think it's as much to do with the trees as far as the water table itself and the new well that was drilled, would be my guess. Without actually going out to your house, that would be my educated guess.
Right. Well, thank you very much.
No problem.
Thanks a lot for the call. I pressed the right button. This one came in via email from Ryan, who says, I have an on-demand hot water heater that is not working. My landlord, parentheses my father, refurbished the entire apartment before I moved in and repiped the system similar to how it was previously installed. He did the original installation as well. It was working before the reinstallation, but it stopped working after. We couldn't figure out why. The elements wouldn't kick on and heat the water, so we installed a regular hot water heater elsewhere. The on-demand unit initially turns on to heat the water, but as soon as the hot water is turned on at the sink, the heater shuts down. Another symptom of my system is that the house water pressure is very low. Could that low pressure affect the function of the on-demand system?
Absolutely. So on-demand water heaters, and they're called on-demand now, so he used the right terminology. They used to be called tankless, but now they have little buffer tanks. So absolutely the flow of water. So there's only so much surface area for the water to be heated when it passes through the tank. So depending on how fast the water flows would determine how much temperature rise you have. So in a place like Arizona, where you need a 40-degree temperature rise, you can get a really good flow rate. Somewhere in New York, we need like an 80-degree temperature rise. So it has to slow the flow rate down. And if you don't have enough flow rate from the beginning, it's not telling the unit that any water is even passing through, and it will not turn on. So, yes.
Go. All right. Well, thank you for that email. And let's go back to the phones. And Douglas in Saratoga Lake. Douglas, you're on.
Thank you. Hey, Ray. You know, Ray, you are the best. What can I say?
Wow. Well, that's very kind.
He is the best.
I'll be breaking into my Jerry Lewis impersonation very soon.
Don't get me going, Ray. You know, I'll bring Alan, and he'll do the other side, you know. listen, not the voice of a master plumber. Going back a couple of calls to the gentleman who called about a gurgling and bubbling problem with his toilet. Couple of suggestions. Lots of landlording over the years here. First of all, wherever his vent pipes are going out, the PCV pipe, check and see if he's got a little piece of wire screen there. Maybe the critters have gotten in there, which they will do. Clean that out, vacuum it out, put a piece of screen in there. If it's a roof pipe, do that. Do the same, check and see if the critter's there. Last but not least, sounds like he doesn't know what the history of his septic tank is. Septic tanks need to be pumped out. However, leach fields get bad. Older tanks did not have a baffle in the end of the tank. The newer ones do. Once in a great while, when the guy comes to pump you out, that baffle, which just slides down in, that little baffle is a one-way baffle. That baffle keeps the goodies going out and does not let them come back. If it's put in reverse and there's an arrow on the baffle, guess what? The goodies build up in the tank. It doesn't flow properly. Am I making sense?
Well, you're close. So we appreciate the call. So two things. You're right. Definitely could be a vent problem. But when you haven't touched your septic tank and we don't know how long.
Yeah, he wasn't sure.
He wasn't laughed. Sure. And he laughed. So that's why we went in that direction. And baffles actually are not backwater valves. What you're talking about is a backwater valve that is an actual check valve. Baffles are not check valves. Baffles are basically either a wall that's built into a concrete tank or it's a T kind of like... So the invert of the T, the center of the T would go out or come in because you'd have one on the inlet and the outlet, but there's actually nothing there stopping it. What you're talking about is a backwater valve that's actually a check valve on a drain line. So you are correct. If there is no baffle, the grease line or the sludge line from the top of the tank will slide out and go into your fields and could wreck your fields.
Now, some but what of you, them, though, guys, will go in either way. That's what I'm saying. Poor design, whoever made them. Many of them, you can put it in either way. So if you don't have that arrow aimed out, if you will, away from the house,
there's no arrow.
It will slide in backwards with the arrow aimed the wrong way. Just a quick suggestion. I've had it happen before. And if that's not an issue anyplace there, you got to go out into the leach field. Chances are he's got a leach field.
Exactly, but you have to start with the tank. And then what happens is when you pump the tank, whoever pumps your tank, if the water starts coming back in from the fields, that's generally a sign that the fields are bad. But you always have to start with pumping the tank. You have to find the tank and pump it, and it should be pumped every 3 to 5 years.
Hey, you got a question, Douglas?
Thanks a lot anyway. Hey, Ray, take care.
Thanks, man. We appreciate it. Let's go over to Linda in Corinth. Linda.
Hi, I was the first person I missed because I hung up accidentally, and then when you hung up on somebody, it was me.
I hung up on everybody at some point, so welcome back to the show.
This is my third attempt to get the question answered.
All right.
I'm going to be doing some work in my bathroom. I'm going to rearrange everything for a handicap. I decided the way to go was to hire professionals individually instead of hiring a contractor, and then I would save money and be able to get more done.
Time out, Linda.
So what's a reasonable price
to
have my bathroom rearranged plumbing-wise?
Hey, Linda, before we go on, would you mind just turning your radio down a little bit?
I can't reach it from where I am.
Oh, mercy. All right, well, why don't we start with the answer, and then you maybe walk over and turn that radio down because it comes through.
Can you hear me now because I'm covering up the phone?
No. All right, we'll pot you down, and you can listen on the phone. All right. Ian, you got the gist of the question?
Well, sort of. It really depends. So it's tough. So I like the idea that you want to GC the job yourself. Just realize that that's going to take you a lot of time. And if you can do that and you can be there, that's great. If you don't have a general knowledge of building things, though, you're not going to know if they're doing the right job. And that's the only unfortunate thing. When we get called out to do plumbing and it's a homeowner, sometimes the electrical's not in the right place and it's in the way, or somebody, you know, put the heating line something is wrong. So I wish you the best, and I hope that works out for you because you can save some money. As far as the price to change things, it really depends on how much work is involved. So unfortunately, there's not just a general price. If you look online, they'll tell you anywhere between, you know, $1,000 and $10,000 for, you know, moving things. But it unfortunately, without looking at your particular house, we don't know what needs to be done. If everything goes back in the same place, it's a lot less money. But if you move things around, it's going to cost you a little more because of vent lines and drain lines.
All right, Linda, we'll turn you back up here if you want to do a quick follow-up question.
Yeah, thank you very much. I like the idea of being my own contractor because it will save me that money and I can be here. So, you know, hopefully it'll all work out well.
Well, thanks, Linda.
I have a friend that's going to let me take a shower at her house.
Well, we wish you the best, Linda.
Fair enough. Always good to shower. And listen, call us back and let us know how you did.
Bye.
Bye. 800-348-2551 is the telephone number. This one came in from Scott via email. I found the plumbing multi-tool the other day. It was great. Tankless water heater? I have silty well water with minerals. Will a tankless water heater last or will it have problems?
It will have problems. You need water treatment first and foremost. On-demand water heaters there's not much to them. It's very complicated, lots of moving parts, lots of small things. It's not like a standard water heater where you have the anode rod, all that stuff. First thing you would do, I would highly recommend getting your water tested, see what minerals are in there, see what kind of treatment you can get.
Okay.
And then go from
fair enough
there based on that.
So, you know, hot water heaters, endless irritation for the homeowner because they'll say, this is a 10-year water heater and it'll last 7. Or
10 years in one day, usually.
Or that. Yeah, there's that. So how long does an on-demand hot water heater generally last?
About the same.
Really? Even with all the complex parts that Robert was talking about?
You may have to get it worked on, or you may. Some of them have 15-year warranties on the coils because the coils are what go bad. So it really depends. But you're probably going to service things. If you want to go on demand, it's because it's a good fit for you, or you want to go green. Not really a good fit in New York for most houses that are bigger, because you need 2 or 3 units, and then you have to upsize your gas lines, or you need more room in your electrical box. So. I'm a fan for them if you want them to go green or if you have the room for them.
Well, if you want to go green and it takes a lot of amperage, then how green really is it? If you need to expand your breaker box.
You're not paying to – well, that's the problem. You're not paying to heat your water, but you do have to pay for upgrades.
Okay, fair enough. Let's go over to Megan in Western Massachusetts. Megan, you're on.
Hi, thank you. I actually had 2 questions. I have an older septic system. It was original with the house in 1986, and the people who built the house next door had the same timeline, and theirs has already gone bad. So I wanted to know what I could do to kind of keep my septic system healthy. I've gotten it pumped out regularly. And then I also had a plumbing question. I have a finished basement, and the valve that makes the water go above ground broke and caused about $20,000 worth of damage.
Ouch.
So how do I know how to not have that happen again?
Both good questions.
And then there was silence.
I think Ray touched on it earlier, anything mechanical will eventually fail. So valves will fail at some point. You can get most plumbers will do a free home inspection. We'll do 2 a year for our customers. We come out and we do kind of a walkthrough. We'll put a camera in their drain line. We'll check all of their piping. We'll check their system. And I'm sure that you have a local plumber that would do that for you. And it'll tell you that, you know, this valve is starting to go bad or it's starting to corrode, and you should be able to see those things.
Okay, so if it's 2 years old now, like, what would be the reasonable... time?
Realistically, if it was installed properly, you shouldn't. It's tough to say, but if it's a you really shouldn't have to mess with it again in your lifetime. But you never know. It depends if you have bad water coming in, or, you know, there's a million factors. But right. Yeah, 2 years is not any time to start worrying. And as far as your fields, you're doing the right thing. You're getting it pumped out regularly. There are additives. There's different bacteria that can be put into septic systems to help them eat the grease and help them to break down the stuff in there. So I would look into that. I would look into a liquid product as opposed to a powder product. Powder products usually take 24 hours to activate. The liquid ones usually when they heat oxygen.
Okay.
And the liquid product, I mean, how do you have to dig up the D-box again? Or
no,
you
pour it right in the drains, and those products you put, usually it's, they come in like half-gallon bottles. You put half a capful down each of your drains once a month after you're done using them for the night, and those bacteria will eat up grease and work their way out into your system.
Beautiful.
Okay, and is there one can you recommend one, or?
As long as you're not a paid endorser, I think you can recommend one.
The product that we sell is called BioChoice, and there's several products like it. So they're all pretty good.
All right, Megan, thanks a lot for the call.
Okay, thanks.
Bye. It's Vox Pop on WAMC. We talk plumbing today with Ian Cowan and Robert Benjamin of Mr. Reuter Plumbing of the Hudson Valley. 800-348-2551 is the telephone number. And over to Nancy in beautiful Amsterdam. Nancy, you're on.
Hi. So I thought I had one question, but now I'm listening to everyone else's questions, and I think I probably have a lot more problems than I knew I did.
Well, we only got about 25 minutes, so, you know.
But I have a water pressure problem. My house is pretty old, and I think the pipes are galvanized, and a lot of them have sort of convoluted pathways, you know, the elbows here and there to make them circle back and go through the right opening and whatever, and when various changes were made, I guess. And I'm wondering if that could cause a water pressure problem. I'm in a rural setting. I'm on a well and septic.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So galvanized piping is steel piping with a galvanized coating on it. And if you cut out a section of that pipe or you try to unscrew it, it's probably going to break. But if you cut out a section of that and you look at it, you probably have a very small. So let's assume you have a 3/4-inch pipe. The diameter of what's left in there is probably, less than 1/4 inch. Once that starts to, the galvanized coating starts to flake on the inside, and then it just, it oxidizes and it rusts the inside and kind of closes up. So anytime we see galvanized piping on water lines, we try to replace it. So if you have sections of your house that are open, if you're remodeling a bathroom or a kitchen, rip it all out and replace it with copper or PEX or something, depending on where you're at. But get rid of the galvanized, absolutely.
Okay, because people have been telling me, oh, your bladder tank, and I don't know if that's a more likely suspect, or do you think the galvanized pipe is more likely?
Well, without seeing your house, I would assume that it would be right. The galvanized, but you can check the tank as well. Are you getting pressure fluctuations, or is it just low pressure constantly?
No, it's usually pretty low pressure all the time.
Yeah, it's probably your piping. There should be a valve on your well tank where it comes into the house, your pressure tank that you were talking about. It's either a gray or a blue tank usually, and there should be like a hose connection on the bottom. And you can buy a gauge from, you know, your local hardware store, your big box store, that you can screw right on there, and then open that valve, and it'll tell you what the pressure is at the tank, because sometimes the gauges on the tanks are bad. So check that, and it should be, if you're on a well, probably between 40 and 60 pounds. And if you're getting the pressure there, then it's going to be the piping.
Okay.
Okay. All right, so the other thing I have is that there's this smell of the water, and it's like, it reminds me of mold. And I had like Culligan sort of person, I think it was Culligan actually, come in and test the water, and they didn't say there was anything, you know, hazardous or unhealthy about my water. Of course, they wanted to sell me a fairly expensive water, you know, softener system, but they couldn't really explain to me why I had that smell.
So I'm not sure what area you're in, but look for a local testing laboratory, And you can get the water tested. They usually have restrictions on it. You'll have to put it in their container. You have to put it in a lunch pail type thing with a bag of ice and bring it in. But I would definitely get it bacteria tested. The Culligan guys, and we also do water treatment, and we don't test. You cannot test on site for bacteria or harmful things. We test for iron, hardness, pH, yeah. sulfur, those kind of things.
Nancy, thanks a lot for the call. Our number here is 800-348-2551. It's Plumbing Today on Vox Pop. Ian Cowan and Robert Benjamin are here. And Jim in Woodstock, it's your turn.
Hi. I have a question about my water softener.
Okay.
We installed it shortly after we moved into our house about 10 years ago. And it worked great for the first, say, 8 years. A couple years ago, it started to get hard again. And we've been, you know, I would replenish it with the salt. On a regular basis, had switched up from crystals to the pellets and had some problems with it, had called the people back that had come, had installed it, and they said, oh, well, we just had to clean out the line and stop using pellets and go back to the crystals. And I said, okay, but what about all the pellets that are in there? Because that was nearly full into the salt tank and or the brine tank. And they didn't say anything. They said, no, that's fine. Less than a year later, I had the same problem. I looked up some things online. I cleaned out the entire tank, cleaned out the check lines, and it seems to be working, but I'm not getting soft water. So I wanted to know, do I need new pellets? Where's my next step? Because I don't want to call them back and have them say, oh, well, it's temporarily fixed, or call somebody else. And what do you suspect is
okay.
the problem?
Jim, that was a beautifully put but very long question. We're due for a break, so I'm going to put you on hold here, and then we'll come back and get the answer to your question. It's 800-348-2551. Vox Pop, we'll be back.
Support for WAMC comes from Stone Soup Concrete, specializing in handcrafted and environmentally sound concrete countertops, sinks, furniture, and floors, serving the Northeast since 2001. StoneSoupConcrete.com and on Facebook. Stories Nursery, Freehold, New York, featuring pruning and fruit tree maintenance tools, open Monday through Saturday, 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m., Sundays 9 to 4. A gardener's destination, StoriesNursery.com. The Lake George Land Conservancy, Bolton Landing, New York, presenting its fourth annual Lake George Hikeathon, July 5th. Early bird registration until April 30th, lakegeorgehikeathon.org. And NBT Bank, offering trust and fiduciary services, investment management, and retirement planning for individuals and businesses. NBTBank.com.
Vox Pop on WAMC. Ray Graff here, and what fun we have when we talk about plumbing, eh? We welcome Ian Cowan and Robert Benjamin of Mr. Rooter Plumbing. Now, the story so far, Jim is having some real problems with his water softener, and he had crystals and pellets, and it's been it's a disaster. And Jim, we welcome you back to the show.
Hi.
Okay, now here's the answer to the question, which I must confess, I've forgotten what it was, but Ian Cowan has not, so go ahead. Robert, okay.
Most likely cause is what we call a salt bridge. Your brine tank, where all the salt sits in there, just because it looks full does not necessarily mean that it's full. Sometimes it's salt. It will use the salt on the bottom, but the salt will not collapse down. And then as it runs, it's just running through water. And it's not getting any of the salt. The salt looks full. I'd recommend taking the top off it, breaking it up, checking. For that, all the salt should fall in. Everything should be good. That would be the first step. If it's not working, I would recommend having the head taken apart, actually cleaned and serviced. If that's still having the issue with that, I would suggest updating the system.
Well, also, if I could just add to that, Bobby. I don't know if you know how the softener works, but the brine tank doesn't actually do anything to your water. That's just to clean the pellets that are in the media tank. And so depending on what brand, and I'm not going to ask you what it is because we don't want to out anybody
Good
or change
point.
Anything,
yeah,
but
right,
whatever brand you have, what you need to do is look up and see how many regenerations are available on the pellets. So the regeneration is when the salt washes them off. So depending on how those pellets are rated, you only have so many regenerations. So when we install a water system, we try to set it up to where you add the salt every 3 or 4 months, and it goes through and it regenerates. And usually they regenerate every week or two. And some systems will last through 5 years of generation. Some will last through 40 years of generation. So it could be that your softener is going, or it could be that salt bridge. Also, when it wasn't getting salt, when you had the salt bridge originally, because I know you said you emptied the tank, whatever beads were in there that weren't getting cleaned could have still had the minerals attached to them and not been washed off, and you could have destroyed part of your media in your softener itself.
Okay.
All right, so it's the head as well as the pellets, so that's really the next step. Because, yeah, I cleaned out all the salt, so there's no longer a salt bridge. And it appears to be drawing it. In fact, it even draws the salt that I put in there has gone down.
Right, it's drawing, but we don't know if the beads are still working. So you just want to do a pre and a post sample and test for hardness. If you're getting the same hardness going in as going out, then it's not. Then you need to change the system or rebed it.
Thanks a lot, Jim. We appreciate you holding. Let's go to Mike in Germantown. Mike, you're on Vox Pop.
Hi. I actually have a water softener question as well.
Oh, great. Love those.
Almost the same, but not quite. But we've got, as far as I can tell, that it is softening the water because you can lather soap. And I assume that means it's no longer hard. But what we're getting is a kind of deposit on our pots and pans, like a white filmy deposit, which I'm guessing is some form of regular table salt that's probably not harmful. But we want to know if it's actually working properly or if we should get it tested for some other mineral or something.
I would say that most likely it's just salt that's washing off those beads. So we kind of got into that a little bit. So there's a tank with media in it. Sometimes that's inside of another tank, depending on the brand. And then the salt, the unit pumps water into with the salt. It mixes, then it washes it through the beads. So some of that salt actually attaches to those beads and then washes off. You can try to use another product called K-Life, which is potassium chloride instead of salt, and that may solve your problem.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, so that would be potassium instead of sodium,
correct.
Probably, right?
Correct.
Yeah. Good. Okay. I think that takes care of it. Thanks.
Thanks,
Mike,
for the call.
Thanks a lot for the call. And let's go over to line 3 and a question not about water softening, oddly enough. This is Jim in Stone Ridge. Jim, you're on. Hello, Jim.
Okay, thanks. I'm here.
Okay. Go ahead now.
Sure. This is a follow-up on a question I put to your team approximately a year ago.
Okay.
It's about a wall-mounted toilet with a flush-mate mechanism in the tank, and it's got a Studer mini vent. The problem was that in anything that involves toilet paper, it takes at least 2 flushes to clear all the shredded toilet paper out of the bowl. Your advice in our last conversation was to remove the Studer mini vent. And see if that made a difference. So I did remove it, and it did not make any difference.
Ah, okay.
So I'm wondering what else I might look into.
Unfortunately, neither one of us
were
here a year ago.
Yeah, so this is a new team.
It's a new question to me, but I hope we can help you. So how old is the toilet?
About 3 years, and it's had this problem ever since it was installed. And it doesn't get a lot of use. It's in like a guest room situation.
I unfortunately, without seeing it, I would have somebody look at it. The water table could be the water level in the tank could not be proper. It may not be set right. If you look in the tank, there should be a line in the back that says water line. So when
this is a flush mate that doesn't really have a tank, and I mean it doesn't fill the water up doesn't fill the tank with water. It's all inside the flush mate mechanism.
Wow.
Oh, so you, okay. I see what you're saying. Okay, I didn't understand what you meant.
And I And I replaced the FlushMate mechanism.
So I was just going to say the diaphragm is probably where you need to go. So the other question is, is it set for a 1.6 gallon and you have a 3.5 gallon toilet? So that would be my next thing.
No, the toilet's only, 3 years old and it's a 1.3.
Well, it's got to be 1.6, but we're close. So you could also have the mechanism itself. You're sure you have the correct diaphragm? Because they do make them for urinals, so they're not one.
A new one shipped from the manufacturer of the FlushMate, a complete mechanism.
Huh. Okay. Without looking at it, I'm not sure that I can help you. Unfortunately,
well,
I'm sorry.
Sorry, Joe.
Okay. Well, thanks, guys.
Appreciate the call. So so wall mount is like the Godfather, where they had the gun in the.
So when he said FlushMate, I think he meant flushometer, which is just all your commercial toilets.
What's a wall mount toilet? I don't get it.
It's a wall mount discharge. So it discharges through the wall instead of the floor.
Okay.
So, you know, you see them in commercial settings mostly. Okay. And also in the city. So not usually up here in your neck of the woods.
They hang off the wall like a urinal.
Okay. Oh, really?
Yep.
So is this like the Godfather where they put the gun in the restaurant?
No, the tank's way up high on that one.
Yeah.
This one's just
I can do something.
Just a flushometer.
Okay.
A little Sloan valve, we call it.
All right. It's cold medicine talking. Let's go to Bill in Niskayuna. Bill, you're on.
Oh, hello. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a question about safety, if you will, safety with respect to human health and the use of PEX plumbing. So I know you guys are very familiar with PEX plumbing, and you can sort of talk to others who may or may not be. But my question is, you know, there's this issue right now. It's basically an unknown with respect to those who consume water that is piped through PEX systems.
Now, what is
PEX
stand for? What is that?
To add to that argument or sort of discussion.
Okay.
So PEX is a plastic piping that's used for water lines. And it's a very good question because the jury's still out, I guess. So we as plumbers in the plumbing industry, we change piping things all the time. So we always follow Europe, by the way. It starts out. So years ago, we had old lead water lines. Then it changed over to galvanized piping. And, you know, that caused problems. And then, you know, copper seems to be okay. But then people are going to PEX. And they claim that everything's good, and I have to go by the studies to say that it's safe, and they've been using it in Europe for 30, 40 years. But who knows? You know, they tell us to eat eggs one day and tell us not to eat them the next. So I never know what they're going to say.
The person that's sort of leading the effort, one of the people leading the effort in the United States, is a guy from Purdue named Andrew Welton. And in discussions I've had with him and some of the papers I've studied from his work, to the point you made at first, that in the United States, the jury's out. So they're finding toluene and other things in these pipes, depending on how they're disinfected, how they're installed, how they're used. And I'm just wondering if there are other resources or other sources of information that you guys might have available that I could use to further analyze this risk.
We just, you know, we talked to the manufacturers, we talked to other plumbers, and again, you know, it hasn't been used here long enough, so we have to go by the studies in Europe, and they say it's safe, so I don't want to scare anybody or get anybody freaked out.
Okay.
And I'm just wondering, do you work for the copper manufacturers, Bill?
No, I don't. I'm just a consumer, and, you know, I look at these things as, I'm like you guys, right? I want the most cost-effective, easiest to install, most reliable plumbing going in my house. But then again,
you
want to
be safe.
Yeah.
I don't want to take risks of PEX plumbing till the jury's in.
Hey, Bill.
Right now the jury's out. With all due respect to Europe, those studies, that data is not available to anyone.
Well, I appreciate the call, Bill, very much. We have very smart listeners, and we appreciate that. So we follow Europe. That's interesting.
We do.
So no bidets, though.
So the
that's interesting.
Well, we had a caller earlier about the 1.6 gallon toilet. That's because that's the equivalent of 3 liters in Europe.
And
they went to 3 liter toilets.
It's all the fault of the metric system. Yep. That's the problem. Let's go to Evie in the town of New Scotland. You're on.
Hi, my name's Evie.
Oh, I'm sorry, Evie. You're on.
No, that's okay. We just installed a new hot water tank, and I noticed that it takes much longer for the hot water actually to come out of my faucet. My husband said that's because it's on the other side of the house, and so it takes a long time to get over. And what makes sense to me is that there must be a lot more cold water in the tank for the water either to be heated or for the hot water that's on the bottom to come up through that. But I'm at a loss.
What kind of water heater is it? Is it gas? Is it electric?
It's gas.
Nuclear.
Gas water heater. Basically, okay, the way they're set up is
their house is mostly gas.
Okay. If you have a gas water heater, there's a burner underneath it. Creates fire. The whole tank heats equally. Obviously, it heats from the bottom, but the tank stays the same temperature. As the temperature changes, as you use hot water, it kicks on to make up for that. If you are just turning on a hot water faucet and it takes a few minutes for the hot water to start going through, that just means it's generally a distance and the size of the pipe that's causing that. So if you have 50 feet of water that's sitting in a hot water line that's cold, it's going to take a couple seconds for that to start going through.
The water in the pipe doesn't stay hot. It has to get from the tank. That's the only place it's hot. But is this a new problem, or did you have this with the old water heater?
The old water heater, it did take a little
but not
time.
As long?
It just takes not as long.
So it is possible it's possible that you may have a broken dip tube. And that's the fill line on the cold side of the water heater. So when the water comes in, there's a tube that makes it go to the bottom. So the cold water goes to the bottom. The hot water comes out of the top where it's piped. And if you have a crack in the dip tube, you're getting cold water bleeding in from one side to the other. So it wouldn't hurt to have that checked out if this is a new problem. But it does take a few minutes to get water from the tank through those pipes out to your faucet. But you can solve that by putting in a recirculating line. And you can talk to a plumber about that.
Okay.
Okay, so is a dip tube something that you can easily access?
Well, you'd have to disconnect the piping on the top, and then it unscrews and it pulls out. You can inspect it and then either put it back or get a new one from the manufacturer because it's under warranty.
Evie, thanks a lot for the call. That's a splendid pejorative, by the way, dip tube. Hey, what's up, dip tube? I like it very much. I'll have to remember that. Let's go over to Charles in Albany. Charles, you're on.
Oh, hi. Thanks for doing this. It's a great show.
Thanks.
I tuned in late, but I want to pass along a suggestion to the guy who was worried about roots in as well. Have him check with an arborist. These guys should know things like that to help him out a little bit.
Yeah, you make a great point. We'll do a gardening show, and Fred Breglia is an arborist.
Yeah, sure. Combine the two, but why not? Now, I do have a problem, or it's a small one. Upstairs bathroom toilet. The holes that surround the upper side and underside of the toilet bowl, there seems to be a steady, constant, very small stream of water coming out of two or three of the holes, and yet the water level seems to remain constant. I've had the top of the tank off the water tank and have looked to see if there's something wrong there with maybe a continual flow over the tube in the center of it and so forth. Any ideas or suggestions you can pass along?
Got about a minute here.
You can put some dye in the tank, and that'll tell you if it's coming from the tank. It's either going to be the flapper itself, which is very easy to change, or it could be the tank-to-bowl seals. But water is definitely getting down. The fill valve is not going to run continuously. It's only going to run when the water level drops, and it could be very slow. So dye will tell you. Regular food coloring dye.
Okay, thank you, Charles. We appreciate it. All right, quickly here, we'll do an email as we wrap up here. This is from Nancy. We have a driven point well. Last year, our pump went, so we replaced it. It's located about 5 feet down in a cinder block shaft. It still didn't work, so we assumed it was a damaged point and that we might have to replace that. We finally fixed the pump problem, but we are still mystified on how to locate the driven point. The town has no record of the well source. So all of that was to ask, how do you locate the source of water when you have a line buried 5 to 6 feet down and running off and away from the pump to a driven point well? And is it true that New York State does not allow service on driven point wells? And you have 30 seconds. Go.
Chase the pipe. You have to dig it and follow it. It's the only way to find it. And as far as I know, I do not know where you live and what the code is there for driven point wells. Sorry.
What is a driven point well?
We don't deal with them where we're at because they're not code.
But what are they, though?
It goes off to another point. So you have your well and you have your pump in one point, and then it draws water from another. So instead of going straight down, it's off.
So this fascinates me now that the show's over. Why would that not be code? Yeah. Why would that be a problem?
I don't have that answer.
Good.
Bobby?
Now I've finally stumped
you. Stumped me.
If I wrote the code, I wouldn't be here.
You stumped me, Ray.
I knew if I had done, if I did the show long enough, I could stump you guys, and we got it. All right, you dip tubes, we're all set. Thanks a lot for being here. We want to thank Ian Cowan and Robert Benjamin from Mr. Rooter Plumbing for being here. Thanks to all who called in. Great calls today, and we appreciate them. Support comes from Careers in Transition, LLC, Albany. Dr. Tom Denham providing career guidance, testing, job strategies, interview preparation, LinkedIn lessons, resume, and cover letter writing. Careers in Transition, LLC.com. Viva Fresh Pasta, 30 years and 30 wines by the glass. European cuisine infused with the flavors of the world. Northampton, Massachusetts. Grab life by the knife and fork. VivaFreshPasta.com. Boyden and Perrin, Amherst, Massachusetts, providing foreign and domestic car, truck, and SUV repair services at a Massachusetts inspection station for over 50 years, boydenandperrin.com. And Vision XL Eye Care, Lake Katrine, New York, providing eye exams, eye care, dry eye therapy, and more, where eyewear is an art, Facebook or visionxleyecare.com. Thanks again to Robert and Ian for being here. Thanks to our engineer on the board, Zach Malloy. Your phones were answered by Rose Schneider. Our producer, the affable, Jessica Blaustein-Marshall. I'm Ray Graff. I think the Bird Show is tomorrow, so stay tuned for that. Now it's time for news.